You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 158. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who has not figured out that I need things to be the same all the time. Don't ever change them. John Brownstone.
Hey, you put me in a different situation. Actually, I put me in a different situation. I'm the one who changed all this up.
I know, and now I don't know when to start talking.
I know. Now I have to get used to a whole different way of doing things, and I did it to myself.
I know, but you did it to me, too. Yeah. I didn't know when to start talking.
Okay.
I need to know when to start
talking. All right.
So that I can never stop talking.
We'll both get better at this. it's going to be as time goes on kind of thing.
Just tell me when to start talking.
I'd rather tell you when to stop talking sometimes.
This week, we're talking about bondage. And yes, bondage is way more than just rope. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. And yes, it's like this every fucking week. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. And show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes.
Better be careful. You've already dropped like two or three F-bombs.
I know, we've barely gotten started.
Somebody's going to turn this into a drinking game and they might get drunk on our account.
Oh, I can't have that on my conscience.
Right,
the disclaimer is do not turn my F-bombs into a drinking game as it could be dangerous. However, if you do turn my F-bombs into a drinking game, please let me know about it. Tell me how many shots you took. So before we get into the episode, if you were like, why was there nothing in my podcast app last week? That's because I was sick. We can totally blame me on that one. I mean, we have been sick before, and I usually push through being sick. But this time, it was a cold, but I slept for a day and a half, almost 2 days.
Almost 2 days.
So there was no show.
There was no nothing.
We didn't do blog posts. We didn't do anything. But we're back this week. Mm-hmm. And then after this week, we're taking the next 2 weeks off. So there had to be an episode this week, I think, really, truly, regardless of how either of us felt, because that would have been a month of no episodes.
We can't
do that. Yeah, no. That's not okay. So we are back for this week.
I had you propped up with pillows.
I know, right? Just put the camera on me and I'll smile and I'll, like, you know, grunt into the microphone every once in a while. Actually, I probably would have found a way to rally and talk, because that's what happens when you put me in front of a microphone. Last week was not planned. The next 2 weeks are planned.
Yes.
And we're going to come back refreshed and with plans for the new year and probably more realistic plans for 2019 than we had for 2018. But we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how that goes.
But that is about it. We don't have a lot going on right now. The giveaway winners from the Lodbrok giveaway from November, they did not only claim their prize, they have received their prizes, and we've gotten some really cool emails and DMs about it, so they're very happy. In 2019, of course, we hope to do more giveaways.
Yes.
That would be ideal. So let's get into the episode.
Okay.
So when we were planning this episode, I think it surprised you.
A little bit.
Like, let's talk about bondage. But here's what I had discovered in looking through our archives. We had talked about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about DS. That's like the whole premise of the podcast.
Really?
And we had done, stop. And we had done an episode on sadism and masochism. So of all the letters of BDSM, the one we had neglected was the first one.
Save the best for last.
Sure. Save your favorite for last.
Yeah.
All right. So now, some people, when they think of the word bondage, they immediately think of rope. And for some people, that's not appealing. And for some people, that's intimidating. And for some people, that they're like, yeah, rope. We are not going to focus just on rope in this episode. The blog post for the week, though, was all about rope.
Yeah.
Written by a Sir John Brownstone.
I've heard of him.
I know. He's kind of famous. You might have heard of him. So he put together a list of resources that you like.
Yes.
And some retailers that you like.
Yes.
We know those are not the only resources or retailers, we're aware, but it's our list and it could grow over time.
Mm-hmm.
We just got an email from a podcast that focuses on rope to let us know that they existed. So I'd like to give them a listen and see what we think.
Found them on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
and downloaded the first episode. I'm going to give it a listen to on my drive this afternoon.
Ah, yes, before you pick up the children from school.
Yeah, before, maybe not after.
Bad.
No.
So
I listen to the adult stuff on my way there. And then afterwards, I switch to woodworking.
Ah, see, and I have the opposite trip. So I take them to school, and then I come home by myself. So on the way to school, I listen to Stuff You Missed in History class with them.
Mm-hmm. And which is a good podcast,
it is. And sometimes you're like, oh, Mom, why do we have to listen to this? And then sometimes you're like, oh, I learned something new. Thanks, Mom. So, you know, whatever. Yes. And then on the way back, I listen to whatever's dropping an F-bomb. So, yeah, I totally get it. So, yeah, there are other resources out there. Mm-hmm. But if you are interested in a rope and you feel like you're completely new to it, the link to the blog post is in the show notes.
Yeah.
So definitely check that out.
And even some good stuff in there if you're not a novice to rope.
I know. You really didn't like that I called it resources for newbies. No. I
think it's resources for everybody.
It is resources for everybody, but I have found that people who feel fairly confident about their rope skills have their resources.
True.
And they're not looking for any more.
Well.
Not on purpose anyway.
Okay.
Right. They might, if they find one, they're happy with it. They're like, oh, cool, sure. But they're not going out of their way to look for them.
Okay.
Just an observation. Anybody out there who's into rope bondage is welcome to disagree with me and prove John Brownstone right. That's fine.
Well, see, I'm of a mind. I went to a rope workshop last week. And Kayla was very surprised when I told her that I was going to sit in on the 101.
Yeah, the beginner class, because I don't consider you a beginner.
True. But I look at it this way. You know, I know my way around rope. I know the safety aspects, this and that. But it had been a while, and I don't see anything wrong with taking a refresher.
Oh, no, not at all.
And I have always found that when you, especially with a new group, even if it's a 101, you could pick some new little tidbits and tips and tricks up that you might not have known before. So...
Right.
Figured it can't hurt.
No, and I'm not knocking.
Okay.
I sort of feel like we're having a disagreement, and yet we don't disagree on anything right here. Like everything you've said, I'm like, yes, I agree completely. But
I'm just gonna drink my coffee now.
That's how I was feeling. And see, if we were professionals, we would edit all of this out, and we are not going to do that.
No.
Okay, so we'll get to rope later. I sort of left that for last because that is your area of expertise. My job as a rope bottom is to stand there and let him wrap me with rope and say, too tight, not tight enough, right? Do I need to put my finger right here for the bow? You know, I try to be helpful. But rope bondage is definitely more your thing than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because... part of the reason I wanted to talk about this in a more encompassing way is because even I used to think I'm not into bondage, because what I was thinking to myself is I'm not into rope. It's not a hard limit. I don't dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I seek out, but other forms of bondage. Yeah, I'm definitely into that. So I'm definitely into on some level bondage. So let's talk about this because we have dicked around for a while here.
Yes.
See what happens? We're gone for a week. We forget how to do it. So the first one on the list is, I don't hear it talked about very often, but maybe I'm just not running in the right circles, and that's honor bondage.
Yes.
It's a really cool concept because it's bondage, but it's also discipline and control and power.
Absolutely, because telling somebody, you need to sit there for 15 minutes and not move, girl.
Kind of hot. Also kind of impossible. I'm a wiggly baby girl. just putting that out there. But it is power and control.
Yes.
It is bondage in the sense that you are in a position, right? So there's precarious positions. There's sexual positions. There's just, let's see how long you can handle this and stay there. And can you do it? And none of it involves equipment. You need nothing other than your own body and the other person to tell you what to do. And then your own willpower and control and self-control and self-discipline to stay there. Now, when you pair it with other forms of kinky fuckery, like Mr. Sadist over here, who's like, I'm going to touch you in certain ways that I know will make you writhe like a wild woman. And I'm going to tell you not to move.
That's right.
Okay, it's hot from my perspective. It's so fucking hot. It's also very difficult. It's kind of a challenge. I always, when you do it, and when you do it in those situations where you know it is nearly impossible for me to do what I've been told and to, for a turn of phrase, honor that bondage. What I'm always wondering is it that you're not trying to get me to stay still? You want to see the struggle. Am I interpreting that
correctly? That's a good, yes, absolutely. I want to see you fight that natural instinct of yours to move and wiggle around.
And so,
how long can you hold that?
And see, here's what happens when you add in an element of play or, you know, quote, torture, orgasm play, or just sensation play of any sort. I have noticed that the better I can hold still, the more you amp things up to get me to move, to make it more challenging. Oh, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the gleam in his eye. Oh my gosh. And that's honor bondage in a form of play, in one form of play. So during sex or just kinky fuckery in general, doesn't always have to be sex. There have been times, now we have a raw iron bed, so we don't have a headboard. We have iron bars at the head of it. And he has said to me, because I like to hold on to those iron bars and sort of brace myself and pull against them. And he has said, don't let go. And
that's right.
It's not a difficult task. It's like, okay, good. This is what I want to do. But yet
there's that mental aspect of when you're just holding them on your own, you know, you could let go at any time.
Sure.
Now you're told not to let go.
Right.
And you have that mental aspect now built in your head. Oh my God, I can't, no matter what I do, I cannot relax my grip.
Right. And I'm going to struggle against it because he's going to do something to me.
To make you want to let go. Right.
And it's not always sexual in the sense of it's not always penetration. It's not always oral sex. It's not always, it could be impact play. It could be sensation play. It can be whatever is going to get a reaction out of me.
Right. Could be a cane.
Yes, it could be a cane. So that's one. So that's where we play with honor bondage. But honor bondage could be anything. It can truly be, like you said at the top, sit here, don't move. There's nothing going on. Nobody's naked. Nobody even knows why you're sitting still and not moving other than your partner who just told you to. And it's a play on, like we said, bondage, but it's in your head. It's what you're allowing to happen. Nothing physical is keeping you there. It's the power that person has over you, the power you've given them. And it's your own discipline, self-discipline, and it's the discipline they've instilled in you. If you play with discipline, if that is part of your power exchange, and the whole premise is to do what you're told to do, then how long can you do that? Because even some of the calmest non-baby girl, baby boy people I know get antsy sitting still for a long time or standing. It's been a long time since I've been put in these positions, but sometimes it's about discomfort and not overt pain, not necessarily pain on a masochistic level, but a stand on your toes, stand still, face this way. Put yourself in a slight position that's slightly awkward. It's not just sitting on the couch. It's not just laying in the bed. It's like, it's going to get uncomfortable after a few minutes. And can you do it? And will you do it? And do you want to do it? And even if you don't want to do it, do you want to give your partner that level of control over you? So then you're willing to do it for that reason. And it's a head game. It's a physical game. It requires nothing more than words. More than words. It is the simplest and yet, to me, almost the most complex form of bondage there is.
Oh, yeah.
Because it hits on so many levels. So,
well, it's mental. It's almost like a mind fuck.
Yeah, it can be. Especially when you are put in a position and the other person walks out of the room, leaves you alone, doesn't come back. Ask me how I know. Have I ever experienced that? Yeah, maybe like early on, like, and they were mind games. They were, are you going to do what I ask you to do or tell you to do, depending on how it's worded? Mm-hmm. Do you have the discipline to sit still? Can you trust me enough to just let this play out and not, because see what I tend to do is when I don't understand what's going on, I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And this kind of thing requires, if you're willing to do it, and it's only if you're willing to engage in it, mm-hmm. it requires you to just do what you're told and not question it and not ask why or when can I get up, and to trust that the other person will release you from that bondage at the right time. Now, like any other kind of bondage, and we're going to talk about safety throughout this episode, especially if you're in a precarious position, especially if you are left in that position for a while, you do have to check in with yourself physically. Is anything hurt? Is anything numb? Is anything tingling? Right. Am I feeling a pain that is not something that I'm comfortable with or familiar with? This is not the good kind of pain. And then you have to say something, you know. Some people will add, humiliation play to honor bondage.
Yeah.
I have seen, I've not seen it. Oh, I don't want to see it. That hits a hard limit. I have read and heard about experiences where somebody's been left in a position long enough. And when they say, I have to go to the bathroom, they've been told you're not moving from that position, so do what you have to do. That only works if that is part of like the play you want to engage mm-hmm. in, whether that is golden showers piss play or it's humiliation play. And that is what I would consider a more extreme form of play.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to play with urine.
That. No. Everybody's cup of tea.
No. Ooh. That gave me a mental image. Thank you. Ew. But that's another way that it can be incorporated into other forms mm-hmm. of play. But you do have to speak up, and you do have to, because your partner does not know. Now, one would hope if they've left you in a position for an hour and you have the amount of discipline it would take to not move for an hour. I don't have that kind of discipline. I would get bored. If something starts, you know, hopefully they would realize, wait, I've left them like that for an hour. Something's got to have fallen asleep by now. Something's got to hurt.
Yeah,
but you do have to say something.
To me, an hour seems extreme.
I know it's
just an example. But, you know, just like with impact play, you know, you want to check in with your with your bottom, you know, fairly regularly to make sure that they are doing okay. Same thing with any type of bondage. You always want to check in with your bottom. You know, when you have somebody restrained, that, you know, whether it's cuffs or it's ropes or anything like that, you always want to check in. You want to make sure the skin's not discolored. You want to ask them for, you know, if there's any kind of tingling. One thing you want to watch out for, especially with bondage, is muscle cramps.
Oh, and I've gotten a muscle cramp while being tied up.
Yes, because when you're in one position, you know, you may have a tendency to tense up, you know, and you're locked, your muscles could cramp. So that's something to be very aware of.
Absolutely.
So always check in.
I don't think of this in terms of honor bondage, but in a way it is. So thankfully, knock on wood, I have not been punished in a long time as part of our DS dynamic. And I am very, very grateful for that.
Came close the other night.
Well, you kind of needed to be reminded that I have a sassy side. mm-hmm. So my punishment tends to be corner time because I hate being in the corner. Nobody puts baby girl in the corner.
I do.
I know. You're the only one who's allowed to. But when I have been put in the corner, and that's been my punishment for having done something or not done something, mm-hmm. it's actually usually a form of honor bondage. I am supposed to get into a specific position in the corner and stay there. It's not right. just a matter of sitting in the corner. I have to be up on my knees, or I have to hold a quarter to the wall with my nose, or I have mm-hmm. to do this, or I have to do that. And in my previous DS relationship, he was an even more sadistic motherfucker because he would put me in really painful positions. Now, it was always for like 10 or 15 minutes, but like they were precarious and they were hard to hold. And that was part of the punishment, was go do what I tell you to do. Go be in the corner that you don't want to be in. Oh, and stay in this position that is agony and you're not sure you can, and you're going to sweat bullets the whole time. those were difficult. Those part of it really made me not want to get corner time again. But part of it meant I did have to check in with myself. Now, there's a fine line from a submissive perspective when I have been punished in a way that, and even when we play with honor bondage, in a way that puts me in a precarious situation that can cause discomfort. Because some, not all, discomfort is mental. It's the idea of, I can't handle it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Your body's okay. Your body's fine. You could go another 10 or 15 minutes just like you are, but you start feeling little discomfort and your mind takes over and you start thinking you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we always need to listen to ourselves, because that first time you might be afraid and you might call it quits earlier than the second time you play. But I think that's something to be aware of too, that your own mind will fuck with you until you can't do this and you're not capable of it and you can't handle it. I mean, I've been in all kinds of other kinky positions that aren't honor bondage or any other kind of bondage. And I've had that moment of, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. But once you add a little bit of discomfort and you add the unknown, you don't know when you're going to be let out of that position. You don't know when your partner's coming back. You don't know what's happening next. It is really, really easy to convince yourself that you can't go any further than you have.
Right.
Listen to your body. You know, I want to say don't give in to that. But I think that the way you learn is the first time you give in a little too soon, you go, I can't, it's too much. And then in retrospect, you go, oh, wait, I probably could have taken another 5 minutes of that. So the next time it comes up, then you know, and you can remember, wait, I could have handled more last time. Let's see how far I can push myself. But that's you playing with your own boundaries and your own comfort levels. And it does require trust. So when you're in a new relationship, especially, you might not have that trust yet. He could put me in some sort of honor bondage position, walk away. I would go baby girl. I would be antsy. I would want to know what the hell's going on. But I would also trust him enough not to forget me, not to leave me there, to help me push through. So if I start going, I can't do this, he knows me well enough that, is that her freaking out, or is that, oh, she's at her limit.
Right.
And I can trust that when I can't trust myself. So that's a that's an over time as you play kind of thing. But it is good to know that your mind will psych you out quicker than your body will. And it will make you think you can't keep doing it. I mean, that, I think that's really natural until you gain a certain comfort level and certainly a lot of trust with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But honor bondage is maybe mentally the most difficult for most people. I think people have, there are people who might find other forms of bondage mentally difficult, but if you don't have like issues with agoraphobia or claustrophobia or any of those things, and you just sort of, you're cool with that kind of stuff. To me, honor bondage is the most mentally difficult, can be very physically difficult, but it's more of a mental thing than a physical thing. True. But it's the easiest to do as well, because it takes absolutely no equipment, no toys. Right. You could be anywhere. It's just the power of your partner's words and voice, and then your power over your body. And that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need anything else. And there you are. And you're playing with bondage.
Very true.
So anything else about honor bondage?
I think that pretty much summed it up.
Okay. So the next on my list is bondage with toys, but not rope, or products, but not rope. Because rope bondage, and you will definitely have to do more talking about it than I can, has an entire community around it. It has history. It has all kinds of stuff. The other forms of bondage are, for the most part, about being tied to the bed and having somebody do something to you. It's usually kinky fuckery play. It's usually sexual. It doesn't have to be. You can certainly play with handcuffs or bondage tape or whatever in a completely non-sexual way. But I think when most of us think about it, we're thinking of the, oh, you got tied to the bed and fucked, didn't you? So, that's what I like. And there's all kinds of forms of it. So the first thing I think that comes to mind for a lot of people is handcuffs.
Handcuffs, yes. That's something you see in a lot of porn videos.
Right. And I'm not a fan of handcuffs as your bondage toy.
Handcuffs, they do great, but you do have to be very careful with them use them. Because let's face it, you've got metal around your wrist.
Thin metal.
You know, and it can hurt if those... because the things, the handcuffs, they are meant, they ratchet tight. Mm-hmm. And they can very easily snug down.
Right. And if you pull against your bonds,
you can do some damage.
Yeah. Bare minimum, you'll walk away with marks around your wrist. Do you really want to explain that at work tomorrow?
Yeah, that's bare minimum. And I mean, you know, maybe you want those marks. Some people might, but, you know, for the most part, we don't want to go through our day showing, visible bruises.
And you can hurt yourself. yes. And there's, so some people will be drawn to the sex toy handcuffs because typically they're cheap, they're easy.
Right.
And they are, and the decent ones usually come with a safety where you can get yourself out
Even if the key is if you lose the key, they have a safety that they can pop open.
But then there are those people who maybe they got their hands on a real set of handcuffs. Those do not have a safety to let you out. And if you lose the key, you can get out of them eventually when you get the right equipment, but you got to be handcuffed till you do. Mm-hmm. And those, I know the people I've talked to who like to play with handcuffs, they like real handcuffs because they are sturdier and they can take more, but you have to be aware of the risk around your wrist.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's, if I'm, for me personally, picking what I want you to bind me with, I want a set of cuffs that are leather or some sort of softer material,
right,
with a D or O ring and a clip. Right. You know, that's
now,
what I want.
Now, the nice thing about using cuffs and collar like that with the D rings is you can also then buy what they call a hog tie harness to go with that. And we have that for our set. And I can put her in her collar, her wrist cuffs, ankle cuffs, and have a 5-star harness that can then buckle to each
wrists, my ankles, everything is connected.
Right. Yep.
You want to talk about a precarious situation. Now, the hog tie I dream of getting into is the one where my arms and feet are behind me. I can get into, if I have to, a front hog tie. Yeah. It's not as fun to me because I'm all bent over. And he could get to stuff, but it's just not as fun. What I can't do, I'm just not physically capable right now, is to do the back hog tie. Other forms of this kind of bondage can be really easy, easier than most people think of. So when people ask me, I want to try bondage, but I'm not ready for rope. There are so many options.
Yes.
There's the bondage tape, which we still have not tried.
Which is a very easy and simplistic way to try bondage.
And can be beautiful. Just
it
gives you the simulation of rope, that windy color and being put into a position without the ties or any intricacy that rope might require.
Now, I just want to say real quick, because we're now talking about physical bondage, anytime you bind somebody, whether it's rope or harnesses or tape, make sure you have some kind of safety equipment.
Yes.
Okay.
You've got to be able to get out fast.
If something happens, and God knows anything could happen at any time, you want to have a pair of safety scissors, safety knife, anything like that, because if you need to get somebody out of those bondages quick, you got to have that. You can't be looking for
Here's the deal: when it comes to safety, and your partner is in pain, something's gone numb, something is wrong, you do not take the time to unwind them. You cut through it, and you go, "Well, I guess I'm buying that again later." I mean, that's just the nature of it. When it comes to somebody's safety, get it off fast.
Something like that from nerve damage, cut off circulation, a piece of rope can be easily replaced. A harness can be replaced, okay?
Right. You can go buy some more bondage tape. You cannot replace your partner.
Right. One other thing I do want to say real quick, in regards to bondage, safety-wise, do not bind your partner and walk out of the room.
No.
Okay? Do not leave somebody bound and walk away for any reason. Okay, not a good idea either. Now, what I have done is when I have bound her, I will also blindfold her.
Mm-hmm.
I will make it sound as if I have left the room and right. left her alone.
Yeah, so we get the mindfuck aspect out.
Right, it gives you the mindfuck. So she's sitting there, bound, blindfolded. Oh my God, I'm alone. Where is he? What is he doing? Where is he? Is he going to touch me here? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that?
How long am I going to be like
How
this?
How long are you going to be like that? But I have never left that room.
No. The last time we did any serious bondage, we actually did it in this living room where we are currently recording.
Yes.
On this coffee table where we are currently recording. Poor dog was traumatized. He did not understand. But this room is massive. So it's a full living room / dining room all in one room and with an open kitchen. So he could walk away to the kitchen. Technically, he's in another room, but he can see me because it's open. It's a whole open space.
Open concept.
And that was interesting in and of itself because I could hear his voice get further away. And even though I know the layout of my own house, I was like, where did he go? What is happening here? But when you are the bottom in a bondage situation, bondage tape, cuffs and collar, handcuffs, I don't care what you're playing with, you are an active participant in this moment. Yes. So you have to say, my fingers have gone numb. My hand is cold. My foot has fallen asleep. I feel a strange pain. Before you get bound, if you know you have potential physical issues, maybe you've got a problem with your sciatica, or you've got a problem with your back or your neck, you have to let your partner know that.
Right. Those things can guard against that. Things that need to be negotiated beforehand and talked about.
Right. And then you keep talking during. Yes, it would be amazing if every single bondage thing we do could just be me lying there or standing there quietly and just basking in the moment. But quite frankly, I have to say, oh shit, you just pulled a hair there. Yeah. Ow. Or this doesn't feel right. Can we fix it?
Bondage is no different than impact play. Mm-hmm. You want to negotiate ahead of time what can and can't be done.
And what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with.
If you're not playing with a steady partner, you're you know, topping somebody that you don't normally top, ask them, you know, if there are areas they do not want to be touched, if there are things that they do not specifically want done. You know, these are all things that you need to talk about beforehand.
Exactly. And you've got to keep talking while you're playing.
Correct.
So whatever fantasy you have in your head of just allowing things to happen to you and never having to say a word, you're probably going to need to let go of that. Now, when we have played with bondage, maybe in a more public scene in the club, or if it's one of those moods where it's, I don't need to be screaming and shrieking and shouting. It's a kind of a quiet laid back. I'm not saying it loudly. I'm not getting obnoxious. I might not even be in my baby girl headspace. I might be in a very submissive headspace where it's a very docile way of speaking. But for my own safety, I have to say something.
Right.
So, and your partner will not just know. Now, your partner should check in with you. How does this feel? Does anything feel strange? Has anything gone to sleep? Is anything not right? And that's rope bondage. It's any kind of bondage.
Safe words doesn't still matter. Apply.
Right. And safe gestures. So sometimes there's some gagging going on or something going on where you can't necessarily speak. So I know some people like to put something in their partner's hand. And if they drop it, that's it.
Right.
We figure this out. Some people snap. Some people, if they even can, they clap. Some people stomp their foot. Like there's all kind of whatever you can come up with that will work for you.
There are options no matter what you are, what you're doing.
Right. But like we have said many times when we've talked about safety, don't ever just rely on a safe word. A sub or bottom can forget their safe word.
Yeah.
They can get into a headspace where they think if they use their safe word, and this happens a lot, that if they use their safe word, they are disappointing their partner. And so they will say, how much more can I take? I'm sure I can take more. It's the opposite of what I was talking about earlier, where, sometimes your mind will go, I can't take anymore. And then sometimes you'll tell yourself, I can take more, because you don't want to, quote, disappoint your partner. So that happens, and that happens quite frequently, especially in early days, or especially when this kind of play is really infrequent for you. Maybe it's a long distance relationship or you just don't get to scene that much. There's a lot of build up to that moment of, I want this to be amazing. And if I'm the one that safe words, then I have ruined the moment. None of that is true. But because that is so much, that happens so often.
Right.
You as the dominant or the top need to know, you have to check in.
Here's what you have to think about. As a bottom, if you try to push yourself to that point that you get hurt and you then have some kind of injury, permanent or even temporary, you are not going to be able to engage in that kind of play anyway.
Right.
That is going to be disappointing.
Right. And that is much more disappointing.
Okay.
Because sometimes you think that you're going to stay for it and you're going to end the whole scene. And sometimes all that has to happen is that whatever you're being tied up with or whatever has to be adjusted.
Just loosened or adjusted.
Right. It doesn't necessarily end everything. And even if it does end everything, I'd rather you end it now a little earlier than you anticipated so you can play again later.
Exactly.
And do something else later and come back to this later.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of forcing yourself and then getting hurt or traumatizing yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not just physical hurts. There are mental hurts. Yeah. And you then have to deal with whatever that did to your head, and that can stop you from playing again later, mm-hmm. too. So you're an active participant in this, and you do have to speak up, and you are disappointing nobody when you have to say, whoa, 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 this is a problem. And if you are with somebody who goes, oh, fuck, you used your safe word, dump that rat bastard right now. I'm giving you permission. Do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because they should take your safety, to me, more seriously than you take your own.
Right. That should be a priority.
Yes.
Right.
So let's go through some of the things. Yeah, I'll talk about the things I like to play with. So we have bondage tape. We have not played with bondage tape. I'm still disappointed about that. But this is a man who has a big old stack of rope. So why is he going to pull out the bondage tape when he's like, look at my pretty rope? So I get it, but I want to play with the bondage tape. It's purple. We have purple bondage tape. Just say it.
We're going to be in a cottage this year, right?
Yes. Yes. At my mom's house, she's got like a little separate like apartment thing, and we get it. When we go visit, so we get privacy. I think because she's going, those two are freaks, and I just don't even want to know. That's what I think she's thinking. Or she's convinced of it because we get so excited to have that little apartment. Anyway, so cuffs are an easy bondage thing. So a lot of people tend to think of those as, oh, that's what you wear with your collar when you're going to play. And that, for me, that is.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole purpose of those cuffs is the ring that's on it that now you can be attached to anything. I am clipped to a St. Andrew's cross whenever we play mm-hmm. on it, which I like because I actually like being able to pull against it. It's a tension, and there's something really satisfying about that because I want to writhe around and move, but I can't.
Right.
And every time I feel that give where I can only go so far, it reminds me that I don't have the control. We talked about the hog tie.
Yep.
The one I really like, we have not played with. You always do it with rope. And so if you're into rope, we can talk about how that works. But mm-hmm. a really easy way that if you've got some money to drop is an under the bed restraint system.
Yes.
It goes under your top mattress.
Mm-hmm.
4 points that come out at each corner, wrists, ankles. And it just lives there. And when you're not playing with it,
you just tuck them under the mattress.
Under the bed. And it's
And when you want to play, you pull it out. Yeah.
And you can do one wrist. You can do a spread eagle thing. You can do mm-hmm. just the wrist. You can do just the ankles. Like I said, you do it with rope because we have it. But he likes to do it with my ankles and then apply the Hitachi. And I am okay with this. That is lovely. But we also know people who the bottom is bound to the bed at night before they go to sleep. Now, she can get herself out if she needs to, if she's got to go to the bathroom or whatever. The rule is she better be attached when she wakes up in the morning unless something happened. But they can be used for that, too. Just mm-hmm. as here's this kinky bondage thing, you are stuck here. You know, it doesn't even, like I said, it doesn't have to be sexual. But it also requires no skill. It's usually like either a buckle or it's Velcro. Most of the ones I've seen that you can buy at sex toy shops tend to be Velcro.
Correct.
So it can literally be anything, but that's my favorite. I love a good under the bed restraint system because mm-hmm. I like being spread eagled on the bed with everything just like open and then available for torture,
mm-hmm.
Orgasm play, orgasm control. What I don't like, and I have
denial.
I don't like that. what I don't like, and I have had this happen, is to get tied to the bed, spread eagled, naked, the fans going overhead, the lights are on. And then to have them go, okay, we're done. You're just going to stay like that. What? I am naked and bound, spread-eagled on the bed.
And then if you what really want to fuck with their heads, just put a couple toys on the side in their view, line of view, and just, okay, there they are.
And that's how you know you're playing with a sadist. A devious, devious sadist. See, because people think being sadistic is all about creating physical pain. That's part of it. It's not always true. Mental pain where you're disappointed and you're like, but wait, but where are you going? But what? And you get all built up about what's about to happen. And you're like, yes, the kinky fuckery is about to go down. I've got me some bondage. I've got me some orgasm play. I'm naked as fuck. And then he just says, there you go. We're done. That was all I wanted to do was tie you down. Yeah. It's a long day when those moments happen. Of course, that, and here's the thing. In my experience, if you whine about it, you get denied even longer. But I can't help but whine about it because, hello, I had just built it all the way. And literally, I'm tied to the bed, waiting. Nothing. So, some people we have never done this, and I don't think we would, but I have seen people ask about it or say that they were going to do it. The home improvement store is great for a lot of pervertibles.
Yes.
We love it for pervertibles. I've been hit with many a dowel. Mm-hmm. I have been made to hold the rope in the rope section of the home improvement store. But there are certain things you should not be using. One that comes to mind are zip ties as cuffs. You want to talk about potentially dangerous, cut into your skin,
right?
Cut off circulation. Mm-hmm. The more you pull, the tighter they get, which if you're, I'm a puller, like you bind me and I am pulling and straining against
if
that.
If you truly insist on playing with zip ties, again, make sure you have safety scissors or safety
knife.
Make
sure you know what
handy.
The hell you're doing.
At least try to have the style of zip ties that can be released. Mm-hmm. There are some that have a little tab.
And stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the zip ties do have little clips that they can be released and reused again.
Right.
All right.
But you're but like
not,
average.
Not necessarily a good idea because those things, they're so narrow, they can create so much tension.
And cut right into your
cut
wrist.
Right into the skin. Mm-hmm. Very, very easy to cut off circulation with those.
And remember, the wrist is a really delicate area of the body. You got a lot going on in there.
So are your ankles. I mean, you've got a lot of nerve ending there. Your Achilles.
True.
Got all those
see, and
of
I don't,
down
you know,
there.
It's funny. I always think of wrists. I never think of ankles. Yeah. It's so funny.
Same difference.
The other thing is if you are going to buy your rope from a home improvement store, you probably don't want twine or really narrow rope or even paracord or bungees. I know some people like to play with them. But if you're spending that money, we got some rope retailers you could probably just get something better at for cheaper.
Right.
Part of it is like, is it paracord or is it bungee? Maybe it's both. They stretch out. They lose their elasticity. I mean, they are elastic, so there's not...
It's bungee. Bungee is the one that stretches.
Well, I know bungee stretches, but I thought paracord over time can lose some of that as well. I don't know. You know better than I do.
I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. There are numerous different grades of paracord.
Gotcha.
I believe one of the highest quality is the 550. I believe that's military grade.
Oh, wow. That's probably not going anywhere then.
So somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, the 550 is military grade, which is one of the strongest or stronger of the paracords.
But you're still back at the initial problem you have with something really narrow.
Correct.
That could easily cut off, and any form of bondage could cut off circulation. I mean, it's not like, beware of paracord. It all can. But if you're choosing... And you are like, I'm not going to worry about a rope store. I'm just going to go to, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot or something. That's not going to be necessary. Especially if you're a beginner, that's not going to be your best bet. Now, once you are an official rigger and you know what the fuck you're doing, I'm not giving you any advice. You do you, baby. It's okay. you know way more about it than we do at that point. But when you are new, no. I would avoid anything too narrow. Definitely avoid anything with stretch to it because it's not going to hold very well.
If you are just starting out... Learning the ropes.
Learning the ropes.
Bigger is better.
But not too big, right?
Not too big.
Not that giganto rope you can get that'll like tow a car.
Oh, come on.
Some people won't know. They'll go, oh, okay. Look, it's rope. Some of us don't know.
Generally, your most common binding rope is, I believe, 6 millimeter. You can go up, I think 8 is some of the bigger. It's probably about as big around as your thumb.
Gotcha.
All right. It's cumbersome to work with, but if you're just learning, sometimes bigger is better in that aspect. Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, as far as going smaller, no, you don't want to go smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Little safety note here. When you are tying, all right, regardless of whether it's small cord, thick cord, in between cord, when you're tying rope, you will, you know, there's always that aspect of, ooh, I want this tight.
Mm.
Okay, you do not want that rope tight. All right. You pull that rope tight, is again, you can cause compressed nerves, cut off circulation. Best rule of thumb, if you are wrapping rope around somebody as the rigger, you want to have a finger wrap that rope.
That's why you do that. Okay. I'm learning something new.
That way you still get nice wraps, but you pull that finger out, it's going to allow for any expansion.
Mm.
Okay, any swelling of the skin, anything like that, and it is not going to be too tight.
Right, and I'm the one that just stands there and looks cute while he wraps rope around me.
Yeah.
Clearly, we have ventured into rope bondage now. In that part of the topic, he is constantly checking. Can he get a finger right in between me and the rope? And if you've not been bound with rope, you might think, oh, that won't be loose. That won't be tight enough to really feel. For me, it is. I mean, we're all different, but I also have a thing about being too constricted. Like, I don't even like a turtleneck around my neck. It can give me a panic attack where I feel like I can't breathe. So one of the things I didn't think I would like about rope is I don't like to be too constricted. I don't mind being tied to something. I don't mind being bound a little bit, but I need some freedom of movement, even if it's what I'm doing is struggling against the bondage, which is, I find hot. but with rope, I did sort of worry of, oh, is it going to be too tight? Is it going to be too much? And then I'll panic. And the way it's always been wrapped around me, because there's that finger width between me and the rope, or that bit of space, I guess, it feels like a hug to me. It feels like a nice squeezy hug. And I feel it, even though technically he could move it and adjust it if he needs to. It's certainly, you're feeling it against your skin.
Yeah.
So I know BDSM porn is the kind that I tend to see are some really like sort of torturous images of usually women, but not always, bound. And when I say usually women, it's because I'm thinking of breast bondage, where their boobs are swollen and like purple, and it's terrifying to me.
Yeah.
I would let a rigger with lots and lots and lots of experience talk about that and what's going on there. But that to me is one, it's a turnoff. Two, it just does not look safe. I've seen those pictures where people are bound, and maybe it's one of those like kidnapping scenes that they might do in some BDSM porn, or it's some sort of consensual non-consent, and their feet are purple and their hands are purple, and that is too fucking tight. And maybe for the movie or the little film or whatever, they like make that happen by movie magic.
Right.
But you should not be trying to make your partner turn purple.
There could be some photoshopping going on there.
Yeah. But okay,
but no, you should never try to recreate a scene like that.
No, there's
not good.
And it's I can't speak for everybody else, but that kind of space between me and the rope, I still feel bound. It's not like the rope's just hanging on me and laying against me. I am bound. It is squeezing, but not so much that it's unsafe. He could get scissors in there if he needs to.
Exactly.
And cut it off me if he had to. It's a podcast / video, but it's mostly a podcast. So we can't exactly tell you how to do rope, and that's not what we want to do.
No.
Anyway, that's why we have the resources. So if you are interested in rope bondage, we've got resources on the blog post, or you can find them there. And YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, is a great place for that because it's such a visual thing to show somebody. But for subs and bottoms out there like me who think, oh, I don't really think I'm into rope, as long as it's not a hard limit. My thing is, yeah, if it's not a hard limit, I'll try anything once. And as we have grown together and our relationship has grown, I've been more willing to try more things because my trust has deepened and I feel more confident in myself. With rope, it is one of those things where I don't love it so much I seek it out. I am not a rope bottom in that sense. I'm not like really, really excited. If he says, I want to tie you up, I'm like, okay, cool. If he says the Hitachi will be playing along, now I'm really excited because we're talking about something else I like. But what I like about rope bondage with the way we play, and everybody's going to be different because it depends on the dynamic you have with your partner. So we play in a very sensual way because we're a loving relationship and we have sex and we're married and that's just how we play. So when he's tying me, he's not like distant from me. He's kind of all up on me. His hands are everywhere. He moves the rope in this really slow, sensuous way. Now, that might be how he needs to do it so he doesn't tie his thumbs together, but it feels really amazing as the bottom. Now, it is hard, and this might be my baby girl side coming out. I get antsy. I start shifting from foot to foot. I'm like, are we done yet? and then so I get also get, baby girl, stand still. Baby girl, don't move. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. But then he'll do something where that rope will go across my breast. It'll go around my thigh or his hand will be somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, now I'm into this shit.
Well, that's one of the things to me that I like about rope. It's a very intimate, very personal, personal thing. Because, yes, you have your hands on somebody, you know, constantly it's doing it right.
So
you're
sexy.
You're close. excuse me. I know, heard a lot of rope bottoms say it's not even, it's as much about being bound as it is the feel of the rope as it slides over their skin.
And when you have used softer rope, because you've used some rope that was so new and it was a natural fiber and it was kind of rough, and that has
the jute,
and that has a certain sensation that in the right frame of mind can feel good. But when you use a softer rope paired with warm touches, paired with that intimacy, for me, that's sexy as hell. Like, it's not about how did he tie me up? What tie did he do? What harness? I want a picture from that. Every time he does a tie, I'm like, take a picture. Let's, you know, I want to see it. But that is not what it is about for me. So I'm glad I'm a willing partner for him, because if I hated it, that would suck for him. He'd have to go find somebody. But we come at it, I think, from two completely different thoughts about it. Like, he's about the rope. Yeah, yeah, he wants to touch me. Yeah, 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 that's fine. But really, he's like there to tie some rope. And I'm like, okay, could I sit down and be more comfortable or lay on the bed and do this? And yeah, tie me, but just keep touching me. Just, yeah, let that rope slide. And so I'm never quite sure if you are purposefully making it a more sensual experience for me, or if it's just that's how rope tying goes and that's how I'm interpreting it.
I think again that's a personal thing. I think that's how I view rope. All right. Even years ago when I was I used to post Shibari images. And for me, I always was more fond of the images that were more sensual. I witnessed somebody doing a tie at the club many, many years ago, and it was an incredible scene. It was predicament bondage, which is something a lot of people engage in with rope. At the club, they have a cage. You've seen it. It's probably about a 6-7 foot tall cage. Person can fit in there quite comfortably. The rigger tied his rope bottom and put her in the cage and then proceeded to do a hair tie.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Passed the rope up through the bars of the cage. Okay. Through a ring and then down. She was in the cage, harnessed, arms tied, rope pulling her hair, okay? Now, she could stand on her tiptoes and release the pressure from her hair.
Oh my God, but if her toes got tired and she
toes got tired and she went down, it pulled her hair.
Oh my gosh, predicament bondage is serious stuff. It's kind of sexy to watch, but it always makes me go, I am so glad that's not me. I'm so glad that's not me. And you used to be able to go on Tumblr and find it, but you can find it in BDSM porn where it's like something pressed against their clit or their hair being pulled. The sawhorse. Or something in their ass and something against their front. Like there's all kinds of forms of it. My first experience witnessing bondage, rope bondage, live and in person was also at the club. It was the very first time you took me to the club.
Ah.
It was a suspension scene. Now, suspension to me is fascinating, but I am a scaredy fucking cat. I cannot imagine actually being suspended.
So you wouldn't want to ever fly?
I don't know. I can't imagine it. The amount of mental preparation that would probably take for me, I would need a lot of reassurances. There'd need to be a lot of hands underneath me. There'd need to be a safety net. 3 inches off the ground, I need a fucking safety net. I am risk averse and very anxious, but this scene, it was my first time at the club, so the whole thing was overwhelming. When they got there, it was, I think they were husband and wife, but they were definitely sort of sexual partners as well. And she takes off her big overcoat. She comes into the club looking like she's just wearing an overcoat. It's fine. She takes off her overcoat. She's wearing a corset with her boobs out. And it was the first time that I had seen live and in person another woman's breasts that wasn't porn or whatever. You know, it was like, I'm in a place and those are her breasts. I didn't say that. I got enough home training to keep that all in my head, but I was thinking it. And then when it was time for their suspension scene, the suspension bar was in the middle of the floor. Mm-hmm. He had all his rope. The corset came off. It never went back on either, but like everything came off. She was naked. She was beautiful. She was very naked. So he proceeds to tie her, and I get bored with watching that because I'm not into rope. So I'm not trying to see how the tie works or what the rope looks like or blah, blah, blah. I'm mostly thinking to myself, there's a naked lady up there and I'm at a BDSM club and there was another woman, her boobs were out too. And I'm like, and there's some more breasts over there, all in my head while keeping a neutral expression. I have home training, y'all. I will not embarrass myself. But so he gets her tied and that doesn't, and next thing I know, he's pulling other, and she is suspended. And she, if I remember correctly, she was on her side. Her arms were kind of behind her back in some way. Mm. Her, and I don't know the name of the tie, so you'll have to tell me.
I don't think I remember anymore either.
But basically her leg, her lower leg, her calf was tied to her thigh. Her legs, her thighs were spread apart. So I'm thinking, what? And I'm thinking to myself, that's a naked lady's vulva too. Okay. Because again, I'd only ever seen this on a computer screen. I had never seen this live and in person. I was so innocent. I was, 33? I was so innocent. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is fascinating. What will happen now? And what was really cool was because this is something for wherever they were coming at it, whether it was just rigor and rope bottom or it was the sexual side or all of that in their relationship, it was a supercharged moment. Like the whole audience felt that energy. We're like, oh, we're all here with you now. I might not care about this rope, but I'm just as turned on because I'm witness to this, right? So he gets her hoisted up and there she is. And we're like, whoa, cool. And then he takes it to another level. He like pushes her leg and she starts spinning in a circle. Now, you think, oh, wow, there she is. And her hair is falling and cascading. It was a beautiful blonde color is what I remember. She's really tawny skin. She has stayed in my mind all these years later. Every time from the position he was in, every time she came back around, his hand on her vulva.
Yes.
And every time that impact happened, now you remember now.
Part. Yes.
Every time his hand and her skin connected, like my pulse just raced a little bit more.
She wasn't
so fucking hot.
She wasn't like spinning around
fast.
Fast.
It was a very slow.
Very slow, controlled spin.
Oh my God, it was so hot.
It was incredible.
It was so hot. And then we ended up like an hour later, we were playing that night and doing things. Yeah. But that was the first thing, one, that I ever witnessed at a BDSM club, boobs and then ropes as well. Yeah. And it was the first like public act of the night. Mm-hmm. And I don't that, because that's my first experience. That's sort of what, how I view the club, is like the first thing you see, that energy sort of carries you, can carry you through the night. And the energy of that club for me that night was supercharged, because yeah. I was not getting this woman's body and rope and impact play out of my head. It was amazing. And yet it was amazing to remember and witness. And I'm not over here going, yeah, 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 string me up, spin me around, smack the cunt, go ahead, it'll be fine. I'm not volunteering for that. Aww. I'm not. I know. There could come a time, I mean, I'm, you know, but not, and part of it is I am thinking, God, she was beautiful. Like, and was she beautiful because she was, you know, empirically beautiful and a model scout might have picked her up? Or was it because of that moment and the injury? It was probably both. She had beautiful boobs. I'm just saying, they were gorgeous tits. the other lady did too. But what I noticed about her was her purple corset more than anything. Anyway, so you don't have to even be into rope to be affected by a rope, I think. True. The moral of that story. Right. And it's like everything else. Bondage in general, rope bondage as a more granular thing. It's a spectrum. It is a spectrum. Yeah. Everything we do in BDSM requires skill. My perception, and people can disagree with me if you'd like, my perception is that the skill that rope bondage requires is at a different level than the skill of other forms of play. Not that skill's not required to be really good at impact play or really good at a mind fuck, but there is some, maybe it's because I can't hardly tie my own shoes some days, that feels like a bigger thing
to when it comes to rope. There are a lot of different aspects that go into it. Some rope bottoms have masochistic tendencies. They like that jute, the natural jute rope or hemp that has that rough fiber, and they love that, the feel of it as it pulls. It's almost like a scratchy feeling across the skin. You know, there's the bottom line aspect of rope, you know, bondage. I am going to tie you up and immobilize you.
Right. And that's probably what I like the most, is I can't go anywhere.
And then you get into the, it can even be artistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some of the shibari is just absolutely beautiful
to
look at.
It's a work of art. The knots and the lines of the rope are a work of art. The position the person is in is a work of art. Like, it's the whole thing can be absolutely beautiful.
You're going to need to link into this in the show notes.
Okay. I'll make a note.
If you have not ever heard of Fred Kyrell, he is a rope artist. Early on, I came across his webpage and his images and videos. He does rope design.
Oh, wow.
Believe he's European. And he does some of the most incredible rope wear. And that's what I call it, rope wear. From corsets to bikinis to dresses.
I've seen pictures of that. Yes, I think
now,
I
grant you, the models that he uses are toothpick thin little.
Right. Not. Yeah.
You know, they're not necessarily kind of thing. Representative of an average person, but the work that he does is just incredible. Incredible. So, Kyrell with a K.
Well, I'm.
Okay, I know.
We'll fix it for the show notes. Yep.
But he is an incredible rope artist and things that he does.
So, when I listen to you speak about rope, for you, it's not just the tying. I mean, it's the tying, it's the playing with it, but it's the finished result too for you.
It's as much the finished result as anything. Yes, the visual aspect.
Mm. Is it, because this isn't true for everybody, is your love of it, is it sexual? Is it purely mental and does not affect you physically? What buttons does it hit?
It's not sexual. There is the sadistic side, of course, you know, physically binding somebody.
So that they can't move and ha ha ha, you have all the control and power and can do what you want and wah ha ha ha.
Exactly.
Oh, what? The dominant in you likes the control? Who'd have thunk? Would never have guessed that. Is it the physicality of it as well?
It's the physicality, the closeness.
Oh, for us, it's certainly the way we play. It's very sensuous. Yeah. I'm definitely turned on by the time he's done. I'm like, can you get these fucking ropes off me? I need you to fuck me. But I will say, for functionality, because yes, they can be beautiful. And I love that every time he just bought more rope that it'll get to us a little later than we anticipated, but it'll be fine. They're beautiful colors. And that I do like. That hits my baby girl side. I'm like, oh, those are pretty colors. Put those on me. But he makes it functional too. So you have tied a harness on me that attached the Hitachi to my clit, which was glorious. You have also used torso, I don't know what they're called, but the harnesses you make on my torso, almost like reins, and you have
chest harness,
and you have fucked the hell out of me.
Oh yeah,
that's some sexy shit. See, it's like, okay, how do I feel about rope? I don't know. And then he like drags me around the room by a tail of rope, and I'm like, oh, I'm good with rope. Rope is good. I like this. For me, the hardest part is the standing still, or the laying still, or the being still, because I know that part of that is because I don't know how long this lasts. I don't know what's coming next. I don't know how we consider done. And also it feels like it takes forever. But I always feel like you kind of zen out when you're especially when you're comfortable with a tie. Like when you're learning and you're practicing, it's a little bit different. But when you're like, I know this tie, it seems to relax you.
It does. I think it's because of the fact that I can focus on it in a sense. And, you know, it's a little different than brandishing a flogger kind of thing. Okay. I almost find it meditative.
That was the word I was looking for. I'm glad you thought of that. Yeah. And that's the sense I get from you. And see, what's funny is at the other end of that, he's meditating. He is tying rope and I'm over here going, are we ever going to be fucking done? Are we done yet? Are we there yet? When can we do something with this rope? Because I am tired of it. And so it's a strange sort of parallel to, like, we're not.
And yet I've heard the same thing from rope bottoms.
Oh, really?
That I've talked to. As soon as they feel that rope against their skin and that touch from the rigger, they just slip away.
And I do not doubt that at all. I find that fascinating. I wish I had that ability. That is not what happens to me. Now, going back to not rope bondage, when we're in other forms of bondage, when I'm strapped down and I can only fight against the bonds and I'm limited, that is a very relaxing feeling to me.
Okay.
When you're done with a tie and it's like the squeezy hug, that is a little bit relaxing. It's not the same as the way rope bottoms describe as just sort of, it's good, you know, they're in the moment. I have to go, it's a journey to get there. But when it's functional, I have found that I can let go at that point.
Are we
getting down on something? Okay. Right. Then I'm here for the bondage. it's just how I look at it. There was something I was going to ask you about bondage. I think it was about safety. I can't think of what it is now, because we did talk a lot about safety, and safety is hugely important in your bondage. And I don't care what kind of bondage. Part of it is the learning. That's what it was. It was about learning. So, you know how when we've talked about impact play, we're like, please don't hit your partner for the first time with that toy. Hit an inanimate object.
Right.
Hit yourself and then test it on your partner. The same is pretty much true with any form of bondage, but especially rope bondage, correct? So what is the process that is ideal?
There's actually a couple processes. I have practiced some ties on myself. Okay. Even the other night, I was practicing a couple of the different ties. I was using my wrist. I was using my leg. I have seen in some cases where someone had, they got a mannequin.
That makes sense.
Okay, and practice tying a mannequin.
So, but it's practice before you practice on your partner. Now, as the partner, here's what he has done before, though. So he did his method to learn basically what he needed to do. And then he went, okay, I'd like to practice this tie on you. So what that means is we are not scening. This is not kinky. This is, and it's kinky because it's rope, but it's not we're going to be in a headspace and this might get sexy. It might get sexy.
Right.
But that's not the purpose. The purpose is he's going to pull out the rope. He's going to say, okay, move your arm here, do this, blah, blah, blah. And he's going to play and he's going to go, oh crap, and he's going to undo and he's going to start. And I've got to give feedback. I've got to say, oh, was that supposed to be like this? Or, oh, this is over here. And, oh, that's a little too tight for him to practice. So it's a nice bonding moment. Mm-hmm. It still has that nice intimacy I really enjoy. But it's not meant to be, here's this kinky thing we're doing. Take off all your clothes. Won't this be fun? This is, I feel comfortable enough with this tie that I'm willing to practice it on you. But this is a practice session.
Right.
And if we can do something more with it later, hey, great. But if not, we'll come back to this. This will get incorporated into a scene later.
I have practiced some ties on you. There are some ties I just can't do on myself. Now, I know there are a number of people who do self-ties.
Right. They're single or they don't have a partner who's into rope and they do. And the thing that I've always read about self-ties in terms of safety is to be really careful and to not only have your safety scissors or whatever, have them close.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, because I was Tumblr when we could go on Tumblr and learn about these things. Somebody was telling the story of somebody that they said they knew. So who knows? This could be like, you know, a wives' tale or something. But that they had tied themselves in such a way that they could not get to their scissors or their whatever easily. And it was a precarious situation. It was a little too precarious.
Yeah.
So, and there's not a damn thing wrong with tying yourself and doing it on yourself, whether that's certainly to practice or because you really like the feeling of rope and you don't have somebody to do it for you. No shame. Go for it. It's also a great way to learn. It's sort of like we talk about in other forms of play. A submissive should know a little something about it.
Absolutely.
You don't have to know how to do it. I mean, you can if you want to, but you should understand enough to be able to tell somebody else, that's wrong. That takes time. You're not going to know that right off the top. If you and your partner are learning together, this is, this is where I have sort of fallen down when it comes to bondage. He knows way more about it than I do. I know enough to be dangerous, quite frankly. Yeah. It's why I don't give advice on bondage.
And I still have a lot to learn.
Right.
I don't consider myself a rigger.
No, yeah. That's not a title you would use for yourself. No. I wouldn't mind it if one day, you know, you got to that point where you're like, I'll call myself a rigger now. This worked out really well. This was not the plan.
Yeah.
But we were talking about doing this topic. And then he said, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a rope class at our local club. And he was like, I'm gonna go. And I'm like,
I had actually signed up for it way before he even mentioned
the topic. Right. I think it was that's when you were like, by the way, which was fine. And so he's getting ready to go. I was sick. Part of it was late at night. It was not a situation where we would be gone from the boys and leave them home by themselves. So I stayed home and it worked out because I'd had my cold. So I definitely wasn't going. And he says to me, because I said, well, who are you going to tie? He's like, it's self-tying. I can do a self-tie. It'll be fine. I'm like, okay. He says, but if somebody wanted to be tied, I'm like, tie them. Have fun. Just tell me about it later. That's our agreement. We've talked about our poly stuff before in past episodes. My thing is just tell me. But especially when it is something I cannot or will not or won't or don't want to, but in this case could not physically provide, I'm okay with it. Go find you a nice rope bottom and have some fun. Just tell me all about it later and then do something to me. So, you know, I feel loved too. that might be the baby girl in me speaking. I don't know. And so I would be kind of okay with that because we've gone to the club on nights when somebody was playing with suspension and a whole bunch of rope bottoms lined up and it wasn't that naked pussy slapping kind of moment like that first experience. It wasn't what we experienced together.
Right.
It was, I don't want to say it was perfunctory. There was something there. They both got what they needed, but it wasn't that really intimate thing. And I know this man. I could see him in a club with a line of rope bottoms just waiting and him going, okay, next. Okay, now, like, and they're all, you know, in that situation, the time I saw it at the club, everybody had their underwear on. It wasn't like this everybody get naked thing. It was, I just really want to be tied. And the rigger's like, I really just want to tie somebody. Here we go, you know. What I like about rope bondage is the rope. I like looking at the colors.
Yeah.
I love the colors. We have purple rope, which I feel is appropriate. But we're about what colors are we about to have?
Well, the purple rope I currently have is the jute.
Yeah, but I like that. I don't know if it's softening because of my skin or what. I like it.
It will, and it does. Over time, as it absorbs the oils from your skin, it will soften. Have some blue.
Lots of blue.
Yeah.
We have a lot of blue rope.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty blue.
And the black and white.
Yeah. Now, what
that's an MFP rope. It's a synthetic rope.
Mm.
Now, the rope I just ordered, it's nylon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. I remember that.
And I ordered four sets, 30-foot length, which is the common length.
About how, on me, everybody's a little different, of mm-hmm. course. On me, Wolf, is 30-foot enough for like a chest harness, or is it?
30-foot, I have done a body harness on you.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm just standing there looking cute, asking when we're going to be done.
The thing that people like about the nylon rope is, because of the colors, when you do a tie, especially if it's a very visually appealing tie, the colors make for good photo ops.
Oh, yeah. When he ties me with these colors, I'll be like, you're going to have to take a picture.
But the colors I ordered, actually, I hope to eventually use them as sets. I got one purple and a pink.
Is it like a hot pink, a bubblegum pink?
It's kind of a hot pink.
Okay. Mm.
And the other is a teal and gold.
Mm. The teal was pretty. You showed me a green mm-hmm. that was pretty, but the teal was prettier.
Right.
You know? So, and that's, you know, for all that I'm like, yeah, the rope's fine. It's not something I'm, you know, as you can tell, I'm not exactly running after it. That will get my attention. Oh, it's a pretty rope? Oh, we're talking about a pretty rope? Okay, I'm here for this. And well, see, that's picture why later.
I had to pick the purple, because that's your go-to color.
Yeah.
You know, and the other colors I kind of picked to, you know, appeal to the baby girl side.
Oh, that's what it was. It was appealing to the baby girl side.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything else you'd want to say about bondage?
I think we've talked quite a bit. I don't doubt there is a lot more that can be said.
Oh, of course.
In regards to it, because there's always something else that, you know, can go along with it. But I think we've covered a good bit.
Yeah, and if you're interested in bondage, and specifically rope bondage, because there mm-hmm. is some level of skill involved. You do have to learn certain things for it to work maybe the way you want or the way you envision. Mm-hmm. There are a ton of resources. The rope community within the BDSM community is pretty thriving. I know there are places on FetLife. I'm mm-hmm. sure there are places on whatever social media of your choice there might be.
Right.
Your local community, if you have access to a dungeon or a club or some community group,
they will usually have something. The thing with rope, you know, especially if you're somebody who just wants to get started in it, you have an interest in it, you know, learn the basics. You're going to want to learn the one column tie and the two column. Those are some of your basic ties. You know, learn some of the basic knots.
And what's funny is he's always trying to teach me when we're doing this, and I'm like, I don't care. Are we done yet? But he'll say, oh, this is a, you tell me if I'm wrong, it's a box tie.
Hmm.
And so I went, that's like tying your shoes. And he went, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, that I know how to do that. Oh, well, why did I mean, there are things that are technically more difficult, of course. I do not want to disparage rope work. But I was like, well, I can do that tie. Why am I so intimidated by this? And I guess that's my point, is it sounds intimidating when you're thinking of the terms you don't know and, mm-hmm. and you're hearing about these ties and you're thinking, oh my God, what is this? And am I going to be all thumbs? Am I at my fingers caught in the rope? You probably will at first, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. But it is not as difficult as you think it is. And if you, you know, if you ever did anything with tying anything, tying knots, you probably know half of what you need to know and just don't even realize it.
Learn the basic knots. You know, the couple of resources that we posted in the article, you know, they go into great depths about safety, more than what we covered. We covered a good bit about safety, which is very important, but learn the safety basics, you know, understand that. FetLife has some fantastic groups. Self-Tie Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. That's linked in the blog post.
That's linked in the blog post. A fantastic group. Even if you're not into self-tying, it's a great way to learn some ties and see what's being done.
Especially if you don't have a partner to practice on. Practice on yourself when you can.
You know, find some rope groups in your area.
There are books. There are videos. There are podcasts. So however you like to learn, however you like to take in content, if you are either watching this video or listening to this podcast, you have a preference, clearly. So the resources are out there. Mm-hmm. And definitely don't, if especially rope bondage, but any form of bondage is kind of intriguing to you, it's a spectrum. It is from a little bit to a lot, and you can go as in-depth as you are comfortable with. Your partner can go as in-depth as they're comfortable with. And I'm saying this as a partner who could really doesn't care about rope bondage. I find things I like about it. It's not a hard limit, so I was willing to do it. And even though it's not my go-to form of play, because there are things I like about it, I'm willing to do it more often. And so if you're the partner there thinking, I'm not sure how, I don't really care about bondage, if it's not a hard limit, try it with your partner just to experience it and see if there are things you like about it. Or you might find you fucking love it and you didn't know. You're like, oh shit, I didn't know it'd be like this. So, you know, it can be intimidating, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
If you just remember to take it slow and easy and communicate the whole time and don't jump in too terribly deep, know, from the first day.
Like anything else, don't jump out of the frying pan into the fire. Start slow. If you try to do a suspension scene right out of the box, you're going to disappoint yourself.
Probably any responsible rigger will be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
you don't even know what a box tie is yet.
Yeah. Start slow. Like I say, learn the basic knots. And once you learn the basic knots, that's what everything is built on.
Right. So, if you don't have access to classes, if you've got access to YouTube, you can see it done. If you like to listen, like we've already said all this. So just let yourself explore if it's of interest to you. And if it is not of interest to you, now you know a little bit more about bondage than you did before.
Yep.
So I think that's good. It.
Yeah.
We do have a bonus section.
Yep.
We did get mail.
Yep.
We will have to stop the recording to go actually grab the mail because one of us forgot to do that before we sat down. Thank God for editing. Okay. But we do have mail.
Yeah.
And we have little things to talk about. And ta-da, there we go. So before we go, Merry whatever the hell you celebrate. Because this will be our last episode before Christmas. I know Hanukkah's passed. We missed that one. But happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate that. And Merry Christmas and happy Festivus for the rest of us. And Kwanzaa and all the things. Right. Winter solstice, all the things.
Okay.
We just want you to have a good one, whatever
exactly.
It is. So we will do our bonus section.
Yeah.
And stop talking about bondage.
Thank you.
I thought that was your thing, though.
It is. All right.
Okay.
Good?
Vaguely.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we will see you in 2019.
Yeah.
Can I talk to the crickets?
You can talk to the crickets. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to talk and then there's going to be editing. Oh, that's unusual. Okay. He's going to go and get... Well, one of the pieces of mail is in my purse. So one thing he doesn't have to go get because we can't show it to you, which makes me sad, but we do want to thank our dear friend Panda Kitten, who sent a gift that arrived broken. And we are all so sad. I messaged her and went, it arrived broken. She went, no. It's okay. It was truly the thought that counted. And if I can find another one, because my good friend Panda Kitten sent me the gift receipt, I will replace it. But it really was the thought that counts. And it was very sweet. And she included candy canes. And though I do not eat candy canes anymore, the children were like, yes, candy canes. And we're like, yeah, it's Christmas, whatever. Going to a sugar coma. The other... postcard that we got, or the other piece of mail, was a postcard from our blogger friend named Elliot Henry. He has a great blog. He shows dick pics. And when you go and choose to look at his blog to see the dick pics, they're not bad at all. Because you're like, I'm choosing to see these. These are consensual dick pics. And he tells great stories. And he's got friends who are sort of guest blogging on his blog. So you get all kinds of interesting... It's all the good kind of sex. And what I like about his blog is that when he writes about his own masturbation, you get a peek into his head of what he's thinking about while he's masturbating. And that's fascinating to me. But he sent us a Merry Christmas postcard. It's got a Santa Claus on it, and it's from Friday Harbor, Washington. So very, very cool. I think that the other postcards have been lost or somebody can't find them. And so we will wait. Well, I know we have more mail coming to us because people have said, hey, what's your address? I want to send you something. We might not get that until we get back from our holidays. I have been around my UK friends so much that it feels weird to call it vacation. I want to call it holidays. But I'm American, and when you say holidays, you're thinking of the actual holiday itself, not the I'm going away for a while. It's a little weird. So did you find it? I'm just working double time. I'm actually going to take work off for about 10 days while we're gone. But I have to get all my work done first. So I'm working double time. Did you find them? Okay. I worried you wouldn't find them.
I did.
Okay. So, these are from, I do not know, and I don't have anything to show you. There's not a picture on them. I do not know which social media outlet this person's handle comes from, but it's Origin of Storms in New York. So thank you. Thank you. I have to, before we leave to go out of town, I have to send out postcards. I've been very lax in that. Part of that, though, is because a lot of people who sent postcards or mail had already sent us something. I only have two versions of the postcard. If I've already sent them to you, I wouldn't send them again. And I need to get more postcards. So, but Origin of Storms, I don't know, FetLife Twitter, if you are out there and you hear this, let me know. And that way we can like connect on social media. But we did get mail, so that was fun. And it was two weeks worth of mail. No, but what I was saying, while I was trying to stall for my daddy, so that if we didn't edit it, there was something going on.
Right.
That I am trying to take actual time off of work while we're gone. Yeah. But I have had to do 2 weeks worth of work this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week after Christmas, I'll work 2 days to finish up and then won't work again until like January 7th. So it's exciting, but it's exhausting to get. You know, I could say, oh, it's the downside of working for myself. But I remember working for another company and being about to go away for a week's vacation or even just a business trip out of town.
It's almost the same thing.
I still work double to get stuff done that needed to be done while I was gone. So it's not that much different. The difference is, I think, the pressure. Like at a certain point at a corporate job, you kind of go, well, it didn't get fucking done. Somebody better take care of it. And that's not, I don't have that option. If I want to get paid for the work, I have to do the work. So, it's not so bad when I know that I'm just doing this work the way I'm doing it so that I get all this time off to rest. I'm like, I can do this. This is fine. So, we are going to spend some of the time while we're away thinking about our goals for 2018.
Correct.
We're going to be revamping our Patreon again. There is a chance we may push really hard for patrons next year. Y'all, even at the $1 a month level, it really is a huge help. The reason being is because we are thinking about the difference between that and ads on the website and how we feel about that. The reality is that this does take a lot of time and it does take money. We spend money for all of this stuff and we love it. We're not doing it for the money, but the reality is that it costs money to do these things. And so it's like, okay, where do we want revenue to come from that is true to who we are, that doesn't take away the user experience, that provides value? And so those are conversations we're going to have. And I think I have surprised some people. They've been talking a little bit about my own goals for 2019. And I have said that they will likely be kind of low key and understated.
Yeah.
And yes, I am capable of that. It might not seem like it, but I am. So we'll be talking about those things too, and drinking copious amounts of coffee, because isn't that what you do when you're not working? You just drink coffee all day?
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. And I would like to point out, I don't know if anybody knows who watches the YouTube video, and podcast listeners would not know this, I've been drinking hot coffee. And I don't really drink hot coffee.
And I'm drinking iced coffee. You can
I know.
Hear the ice rattling. There you go.
And I am the one on Twitter who was like, it's never too cold for iced coffee. That's not even a thing. But it is very rainy here today and very dreary. And
yes.
My stomach hurts today. And like, I'm just, ugh.
It's like as, so much of a it's as much of a winter day as you're going to get in Florida.
In our part of Florida.
Yeah.
Other parts of Florida will get, you know, frost.
Yes.
I've lived here 4 years now. I think I remember one or two days of winter frost.
Yes.
Now, when we move next summer, that will change.
That will change.
Be an inland part of Florida, so frost
and
happens more
northern
often.
From where we are, so yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it'll...
That will be a more
and
of a likely possibility.
Our non-Florida listeners will still go, give me a fucking break.
Right?
That is not cold.
Are you scraping ice off of the windshield of your car? Are you shoveling the driveway?
Hell no. I'm not living in a place where I got to shovel nothing. I'm not. Give me the rain, the constant rain that never seems to stop. Which is our winter. It just rains. Mm-hmm. And it's been raining all day.
And that's what it's been doing.
Yeah.
Is rain.
So we played with our lighting, with our new lighting for the for the video. And we're still taking feedback. We've had a couple people say, oh, your mics sound really good, but like somebody asked, said it was a little toppy. Was that
toppy,
the word? Yep. Which I found really funny because I was like, well, I hope it's toppy. It's John Brownstone. He's a top. that is not what they meant. And I know that's not what they meant, but it was funny to me. I got a chuckle out of it. but it was about the treble. And so that is...
Yeah.
That is all stuff that I just nod and it's like rope. I nod and smile and go, okay, when are we going to be done? So I can go do the fun part. So part of me doesn't want to stop talking because I won't get to talk to everybody for 2 weeks. And part of me is like, shit, I got stuff to do. But we do. And plus, y'all have stuff to do and don't necessarily want to keep listening. But we do love you guys.
We do.
2018 has been a roller coaster of a fucking year.
Yeah.
Some really cool things have happened and some really wild things and not so good things and unexpected things and plans we had did not pan out and we shifted gears and we've just like it feels like we've been all over the place. But some things got a lot better and not just like on the podcast, like personally and some things, you know, got neither better nor worse. So, hey, we'll take it. I call that a success.
Sometimes the status quo is a good thing.
Yeah. So we've got big plans. A lot of I think my goals for podcast and blogging will be low key because we have so many massive personal goals next year.
Yes, we've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to put the condo up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move a couple hundred miles from where we are.
Yeah, it's not like a huge move.
No.
Definitely still a Florida girl.
Oh, yeah.
That's not fucking changing. But yeah, and there will be a lot going on there. I've got to get the kids adjusted to new school and all kinds of stuff will be happening in the middle of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of all of that, we are going to London in March.
Yes.
We might try the impossible and go back to Amelia Island at Memorial Day.
I hope so.
I hope so, but I also know if we're trying to sell a condo, it might not work.
I know.
We'll try to do more kinky things in our local area after we get moved. Before we get moved, that's a thing. You're in charge of our local munch for the next, until we move, for like the next 6 months.
Oh, forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then guess who went, I'm in charge of putting it up online and letting people know about it, but you're Kayla Lords. You have to speak.
Uh-huh.
We're at the munch and there's the biggest munch we'd had, the most attendance we'd had in like
22 people.
Yeah. In like 6 months. We just hadn't had the attendance. And it was the one time the venue gave us their smallest room because we hadn't had the attendance. And
friend, 22 people showed
and
up.
And we packed in there like sardines. We gave up our seats and went, here, somebody else sit down.
Yeah.
And we did a raffle and we talked. And we didn't do a topic because we weren't prepared for all that.
No.
I was not prepared to speak. So I was like, what? But I did look cute. So
you did.
I did my part. I
you
wore
did.
Clothes.
You did.
It's amazing what happens when you wear clothes that fit. I wore clothes that fit. I wore cute shoes. I did my hair. I was there to represent.
And you did quite well.
I did.
Quite well.
But yeah, so we're doing that now for, mm-hmm. like we said, just while we still live here.
Yeah.
And then it'll have to get passed off to somebody else. But it feels good too to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would. Well, I thought it would hit my anxiety. And now I'm like, oh no, I can do this.
The thing that happened for me, the person who had been running the Munch, she had to step down. She's taking care of some family, and nobody had really stepped up to say, yeah, I'll do it. The Munch that we go to, the local Munch that we regularly attend, there's several. There's a couple that.
Oh yeah, we've got several in our area.
In our area, and I do on occasion attend some of the others, but. This particular Munch is one that's very near and dear to me. When I first discovered the lifestyle a number of years ago, I very nervously made my way in the door of this Munch, and being very nervous and scared, not knowing what to expect, and I was greeted with friendship and open arms.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful community. They, sat and talked with me, wanted to know about me. They answered any questions I had, and they were just a very welcoming and great community. So, it's one that's very near and dear to my heart. And when this came about, I wanted to make sure that, it was alive and going,
sure.
So to speak.
Well,
you know?
It's like our one social thing to do a month. We can't let it end.
Yeah.
before we leave, at least.
Yeah.
The person who was doing it, has said that she will likely be back after her family situation is sorted out.
Right.
And we're hoping that the timing is just right where we're like, okay, we're ready to go. And mm-hmm. here it's back to you. But if not, it's one of those Munches, since I've been going to it, that it swells, it shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kind of a core group that are always there, that always go. And so I think any one of them would go, okay, I can at least make sure it gets on the schedule and that people know about
right.
it. And, because, see, here's how naive I was. That's all I thought was happening. He was like, well, yeah, I'm going to take over scheduling and in Fet Life so everybody knows what's going on. I'm like, oh, you have fun with that. You have a good time. Okay. And then we get there and he goes, so I think we should do this and I think we should do that. And he's like, and by we, I mean you. Could you just get up and stand there and talk to them? And I was like, what?
You're such a good talker.
I am when I'm prepared, when I know I'm going to be speaking.
You did fine.
I like just went, can we pretend this is a podcast? And then everybody wanted to hand me a fake microphone. I was like, I need a microphone. I don't know how to speak without a microphone in front of me. And so I had one person hand me a knife, one person hand me a fork, and one person hand me a spoon. And then I remembered these are my people. They're not looking for perfection. Just like you guys, thankfully, are our people. And you do not expect, because we've never given it to you, perfection. So it works.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what we're doing for the next few months as well. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff. And I am looking forward to the break. I'm looking forward to coming back refreshed and excited and ready to kind of go and do and new ideas. Y'all are always welcome to, I'm not as fast about it as I used to be, but y'all are always welcome to reach out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Email is always best because I can always get back to it in email. I can always get back to it on social media. But whether it's questions or just, thoughts, or if it's, hey, could you talk about this topic? That would be great. We've had a couple of topic suggestions lately that I've got to run by the daddy and see if it's something he wants to talk about. But that way we know we're talking about things that matter to you guys and that you want to actually know about. So.
Do I sense a business lunch coming up?
Well, we're having the company Christmas party Friday night.
That's true.
Company of two.
That's
it's
true.
Called date night because I basically pitched a temper tantrum.
It's a combined LB and Wood Dom Christmas party.
And the date night that I've been owed
night,
for a while. For a long while. For a long, long, long while. So he's calling it the company Christmas party. I'm not wearing an ugly Christmas sweater.
Neither am I.
No, he's making me get dressed up, and I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, stuff's going on. Yes. We will, if you are a patron, we owe you at least one recording for this month. I kind of slacked off. Sorry about that. And so we'll talk more about the business stuff over there. But when we get back in 2 weeks, we'll share, because we do. That's what we do.
That's right.
So I guess that's it.
That's it. All
right. Have to stop talking at some point, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Damn.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to leave and go get the boys and leave you here talking.
I would still be talking when you got back.
Yes, you would.
I have seen on YouTube where some bigger channels that I follow, they'll do like a live stream or they'll do like a really like funky thing and they'll just stream for hours and hours and people are watching. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that, but I think I'm actually capable of just turning on a mic and a camera and talking for hours. It's probably true. So anyway, we've got to let y'all get back to your life and go get back to ours.
Exactly.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
So we love y'all. Thank you so much for watching, listening.
Everything.
However, for all you do for us. You all are wonderful and we love you.
We wouldn't be here if not for you.
We wouldn't be here if not for you.
No.
And, however you celebrate, whatever you do, have a happy and safe holidays. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to being back with you in a couple weeks.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.